Arrangement and End of the Age, Including Ranks in the Resurrection by A.S. Copley. By faith we apprehend that the ages have been framed by the saying of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11, verse 3, Greek text. God is above and before all. The divine plan of the ages was settled in the divine council before time began. That plan had a beginning. It is having an unfolding, and it will have a consummation. God used men to announce the beginning operations of his plan. He used others to announce the progress and developments thereof, and finally he employs still others to make known the culmination of that plan. As there were stages of progress in the beginning and also in the development of this plan, so there are stages in the consummation of it. We are in the sixth dispensational day of God's great plan. And more, we are in the end of this age. Sunset is nigh. This age is over 1900 years long, and it had its beginning in the first advent of Christ and the advent of the Holy Spirit. The stages of the ushering in of this age were marked by the offer of the gospel of the kingdom to Israel, their rejection of it, and the gift of salvation offered to the Gentiles along with the mystery of Christ, once hidden in God, but revealed to the Apostle Paul. The progress of this age is marked by the gospel being spread to all the world and by the decline of Christianity. Now, at the end of this age, there is a revival of the study of God's Word, the infusion of the Spirit and renewing of the spiritual gifts, the repetition of worldwide missionary effort by the announcement of the soon coming of Jesus, and by the dealings of Providence with the Jews. There is constant progress in the deep study of God's Word, especially in view of the second advent of the Lord. This brought about particularly the sovereign operations of the Holy Spirit, which is emphatically and sovereignly due. As there has been an unfolding of the plan of the ages, so there is an unfolding of God's Word for the time of the end. Not only do we see a vast difference between the ministries of Peter and Paul, but also as truly a difference between their respective rewards and the reward of those who follow their teachings. And more, there are also stages of experiences among those who receive Paul's message. As John writes to children, young men, and fathers, so we find saints today in these various stages of growth. Carnal believers. Likewise, we find different degrees of yieldedness to God among those who are born of the Spirit. There are the carnal who walk as men, envying and strife and factions being manifest. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 1 and 3 through 3. This seems to embrace the majority of believers, although some of them may surprise themselves as knowing the scriptures and as being authorities therein. There are also degrees of carnality. Some are very fleshly, some moderately so, now and then showing some spirituality, and others only tinged with carnality. There are also various kinds of fleshiness. Some yield to their animal propensities. Some yield to intellectual reveries and research. Others are borne away with music and art, and still others are religiously fleshly, going to extremes in physical demonstrations and in their zeal putting forth what they call the truth. Doubtless the most unpardonable religious flesh is that which claims to know the truth and understand the Word of God, but is indifferent to it, or compromises it, or makes merchandise of it. They may be dry, lifeless, orderly, intellectual, authorized, religious flesh, so scriptural and tame that no fault can be found with it except that it is formal and powerless. This is the saddest, the most to be feared, the hardest form from which to be delivered. The scathing warnings of the Apostle Paul are directed against all forms of fleshiness among those who claim to be his followers. Mark this well, beloved. He earnestly and constantly seeks to lead us on, pointing out every kind of side track by making plain the true track for the racer who desires to run. How eagerly we should study his letters. Spiritual believers. There is also the less conspicuous company, the spiritual, who discern all things, yet are discerned of no man. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 15 through 16. These are by far the most necessary, being in closest fellowship with the Lord, and they are most useful. They learn to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. They become God's dependable ones because to them is made known the will and purposes of God. They understand what He is doing and why, and also what He means to do in the future. They find out what part they have in the moving drama and gladly perform that part by His enabling. There are no doubt three distinct stages among the spiritual, corresponding with the three degrees of divine will, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12:2. These seem to agree with John's expression of family growth, children, young men, and fathers. Jesus also spoke of three degrees of fruitfulness, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Some believers begin to be spiritual early, though they are only children in grace. They grow rapidly in spirituality, strength, and usefulness as they grow in the understanding of the truth. They pass on into young manhood. The first stage would be in the good will of God, the second in His acceptable will, going on toward His perfect will even into full growth. This is expressed in Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There are no doubt degrees of God's perfect will also, from assurance to confirmation, then on to maturity. This is comparatively a small company. The spiritually mature look down the line and understand who is who and why they are, and where they are and what they are. They discern all things. They truly discern the signs of the times. They are not occupied with passing events, simply to have something to talk about or to exploit their knowledge or gifts, but all their knowledge and wisdom combine to fit them for their place in the drama of the ages to come. Truth is exceedingly real, precious, and practical with them. The voice of God, as revealed through His Word, is everything to them. These are indeed the men of God, who live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus Himself lived by the powerful word of His Father. David in ecstasy cried out, "How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 119, 103. The weeping prophet fed on God's word. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah 13:16. Differing without discord. Each prophet under the Old Covenant had a distinct message for his particular time. Even contemporary prophets had truth revealed to them that others did not announce, but there was no contradiction in their messages. They did not rehash one another's findings as men do today. Each heard the voice of God for himself, hence there was a continual unfolding of the truth and of the will of God. It seems today that some men claim to be authorities in Bible interpretation and put limitations to one another by agreeing with one another, a sort of scripture interpretation union. They denounce light that others may obtain. Despite this conceit that cries, "We are the people, wisdom will die with us," God continues to lead others into more truth. He is revealing Himself and unfolding His will for this present time to simple-hearted ones who dare to go unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Hebrews 13:13. God so definitely reveals Himself to individuals that they cannot be mistaken. The rebuke of learned Bible expositors cannot turn them aside. For example, some leaders decry divine healing, saying, "The age of miracles is past." They also denounce the infilling of the Holy Spirit as fanaticism, along with speaking in tongues, and count it as the work of the devil. Nevertheless, the teachable ones break the power of Satan by faith and are healed, bringing healing to others also. They also push through form and ceremony and receive the glory, even the Spirit and glory of God. Paul's teaching may seem only a theory to many who know little or nothing of actual victory over sin and the flesh. Others are proving the practical power of our position under grace, Romans 6, and experience the joy and glory and all sufficiency of the Christ within. Hallelujah! These people also purpose to win in the Christian race.